Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you. 1380 KLIZ 105.1 FM, streaming at KLIZ.com. And if you're looking for podcasts, you can simply find us under Lakes, Woods, and Irons. This portion brought to you in part by a new sponsor, Roth RV. Experience the difference when you buy from a locally owned RV dealer. Find them online at Roth RV. And also the T-Hive, custom-designed apparel for your team, brand, event, or family. The T-Hive makes it easy. Chris, the story last week was Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda, and the story this week is Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda.
That is right.
Man, both, oh man, what a couple of hot golfers.
Yeah, both players are an absolute tear. And both equally as good. Scottie Scheffler's performance is, they're both kind of one for the ages, really. I mean, just generational play.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to watch a little bit. I probably watched the last 45 minutes of the ladies' tournament, and the back nine really got tight. You know, Nelly made a there was a two-shot swing on 11 or 12, and it came down to one shot, and she knew exactly where she stood, and there was a huge sense of relief for her when she did. She did put out. It would have been fun to see her finish off with an eagle, which looked like she almost made the eagle and left herself a pretty good putt for birdie, which she made without any problem. But that was to win by one. So quite an event there.
Yeah, no kidding. She got some pretty good competition. Scotty, meanwhile, kind of ran away with things again. He gets a five-shot lead. And, you know, the guys go to the clubhouse on Sunday with the weather delay and think, Scotty's got a five-shot lead with five holes to play. I don't like our chances.
No, there's no chance. You know, it's they could have probably just called it on Sunday night and let everybody get out of town.
Yeah, probably could have.
everybody would have been okay with it. But, kind of amazing. A couple good stats for you, Mac. He's had 30 rounds in the 60s this year. So if you think about that, 30 rounds in the 60s. There were 9 in the 70s. There's not 30 rounds in the 60s. 9 other rounds. 70, he shot 6 times. He shot 71 2 times and 71 once. So 39 consecutive rounds at under par or better to open 2024.
Blew up to a 72 once, huh?
Yeah, so that's amazing. Then, and since January 1st, he's 69th among the top 150 players in the world in putting, which is a lot better than he was at, a year ago. So at 69th, he's gaining one shot on the field per round with the putter, which is not bad, but still 69th. So he's won 4 times and finished in the top 10 9 times in the last 10 events.
Wow. 9 top 10s out of 10 tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is impressive.
And I think the distance in points was the same between him and McIlroy, the number 2 player on the tour, and then McIlroy and the last, whatever it is, the 160th player or something. The difference is the same.
Yeah.
That's how far ahead he is.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's the best year on tour probably ever was 2000. Tiger won 11 times.
Yeah.
And he's on. I'm not going to compare him to Tiger because Tiger is he's the GOAT as far as I'm concerned. Nicklaus may have won more majors, but nobody's played to the level that Tiger has. And so Tiger in 2000 wins 11 times. He won $10.7 million. If we compared to the same tournaments, if he won in 2024, that would be $92.4 million. you think the money on the PGA Tour has increased, Mac?
Yeah, I think it's doing. I think they're doing okay. I think Scotty's made $18 million bucks so far.
Yeah.
That's not
So we're,
and I think saw some stuff after that, kind of the I'll run home when the baby's born if I need to. And Scotty even said that might have been a little overblown, you know. I'm thinking sister and mother are there, and Scotty, you go win us another $5 million, honey.
You know, I think what I read something this morning he wasn't making a big deal out of it at all, but the media kept pushing on, and the media made it a way bigger story than it actually was.
Right. Yeah.
He would have gone home, but it was not, there was nothing pressing in, while he was at the Masters. They were still a couple weeks away from having that baby.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Extraordinary guy and, down to earth, man of values and that kind of thing. And I mean, he's a good guy to look up to in the golf world. That's for sure.
He's definitely something that the golf world needs at the moment, in my opinion. And he is just, you know, there are people that criticize him because he doesn't have the bravo or whatever you want to call it of a Tiger or a Brooks Koepka or somebody who has had, you know, some of the players in the past decade or
right,
that have
yeah.
had the
yeah.
the you know the type of winning. Prowess that he has, but he's certainly a guy to look up to with just the way he conducts his whole life,
right? Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the way he puts golf in perspective, which I think for anybody who's played golf competitively or at a high level, it's you know, the game of golf eats you up because you tend to. You know, you lose a lot more than you win. And if you're working hard at it and you're not getting results, we all tend to beat ourselves up. Not that he might not if he's not playing as well as he is, but he's definitely got things in great perspective. And golf isn't the only thing in his life.
Right, yeah. Yeah, very much so. He doesn't even consider himself. Golf's not number one to Scotty.
You know, I think when he says that, he means that most of us, when we say, you know, we've got our priorities of whatever they are,
right?
And we say golf's number three or four. Well, when you say that, golf's number one usually.
yeah, that could very well be. I also, you know, some people were surprised that he went and played at the in the Heritage. And I think these guys are so fine-tuned. They know when they're playing their best. And why take a weekend off when you're playing your best? I mean, it's going to go away eventually, and they know that. So when you're playing really well, why not go play the next week after you've won? You know, the Masters can be exhausting, I guess, but I was glad to see him play, and then he dominated again.
Well, I think there's a lot to that. The if you're on a hot streak, ride it out.
Yeah,
but in the other side of it just goes back to what we're just talking about. I mean, Scotty's going to hold to his commitments, and he committed to the event, and he's the number one player of the world, and Hilton Head's counting on him being there.
Yeah,
so he's not going to let him down, and which you can't say that about all players after they win a major. They may not go finish out the next week, you know. So
special.
Which you can't blame him either way, but he's going to keep to his commitments.
Absolutely, he's a special guy. We've got some special guests coming up. Chuck Kletkaski from the Gravel Pit is going to join us, and then you've got a guest as well, Chris, lined up.
Yeah, Matt Majors from the Minnesota Golf Foundation. So,
all right, look forward to that. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on The Fan. Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ and 105.1 FM, also streaming at KLIZ.com. And if you're looking for podcasts, you can find us at Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Brought your way in part by Shannon's Auto Body with a brand new location in East Brainerd to better serve their customers. And by Ernie's on Gull, with deck and patio seating and an unmatched Gull Lake view, open year-round at 11. Chris, special guest, an old friend of ours. Happy to have him on.
Yeah, always good to have Chuck Klatsky on, the PGA professional at the Gravel Pit. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Hi, gentlemen. Happy spring.
Yeah, Chuck. How are you, man?
We're doing great. We got an early start to golf this year in Minnesota, and Gravel Pit was able to take care of that. So we've got some people out playing golf, and the sprinklers are on, and the grass is greening up.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I know I saw you up there when we first had that little warm stretch before we got the snow, and you already had people out. And I was kidding with my daughter-in-law. Her boyfriend's quite a golfer, loves your place, and she said he was misting up when he heard the news that Gravel Pit was already open.
Yeah, it was definitely a nice start to the year, and now we're just getting into hopefully a little bit of better weather. We need our February or March weather back now.
Yeah, we do. I think we're going to get it. It's, as we speak today, it's nice and sunny outside, so let's hope that hangs with us for a while.
Absolutely.
Chuck, for our listeners who aren't familiar, give us a little the story of the Gravel Pit and where you're located.
Yeah, so we're located right at the edge of East Gull Lake, just past the Legacy Golf Courses over at Craigens. They're our neighbor. And we've got a 13-hole par 3 golf course that we built out of an abandoned gravel pit. So we've got 13 par 3s that range from 60 to 200 yards and a nice clubhouse that overlooks the entire property. We've got a nice putting course that's a 13-hole natural grass putting course where people can work on their short game a little bit. And we're also excited to be opening another golf course this summer.
Yeah, and you got a pond full of trout, too.
Well, that's true. We do stock one of our ponds right in front of the second hole with trout. So when people come out, if they want to help us feed them, it's pretty exciting. We just put 200 of them in.
Wow. Yeah,
it's fun.
Chuck, tell us about the new golf course that you have.
So last summer, we constructed another golf course on the same property. So we'll still use the same clubhouse, but just to the south of us, towards the layman course over at Craigens, we built 10 and a half holes. So we continued to be a little bit untraditional and built 10 and a half par threes that we hope to open Memorial Day weekend, just a few weeks from now.
Nice. Being bad at math is really paying off for you, isn't it, Chuck?
Well, it's a little unique. We keep trying to do things a little bit different here in the world of golf. So We built 10 par threes, and then our last hole, what we're calling the half a hole, is about a 69-yard putt. Kind of goes right back towards our parking lot, so we're going to have people just putting only. It's an actual golf hole with a real green and everything, but we're calling it half a hole. So that should be kind of fun way to end that round at the gravel pit.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. I love it, Chuck. You know, I don't think I've ever heard of we've talked about this, a 13-hole golf course. I have heard of a 10-hole golf course that's on my bucket list to play on the Isle of Arran in Scotland, which is supposed to be a fantastic golf course. But I haven't heard of a 10.5-hole golf course. And so are you calling it a 13.5-hole golf course or two separate?
We're going to call it we're going to treat it as two separate courses, so people can play the 13 or the 10.5, and or they can play, you know, obviously play them both, but we'll have tee times on each of the facilities, which is kind of nice when we have a charity event or a corporate event or something, that we'll have the other golf course open and available for people, our members, to play or the public.
I love it. I'm kidding you more than anything, but you know, it's if you go back in time, you know, in the history of golf, 18 holes is a relatively new thing, and you know, if you go back in the pre-1700s or mid 1700s, they used to design golf courses on the land that they had available, and fit it into the land, and so I love what you're doing.
It's interesting.
Plus it's just fun golf.
That's kind of what Scott Hoffman, our designer, you know, he's a big proponent of that too, of letting the land speak to you. And it's sort of what fit here. So we were like, well, you know, don't fight it. Don't try to make it into something, you know, conforming, if you will. And out of it, we came up with two kind of unique numbers.
That's great.
Have you got? I was thinking of events. I know, Chuck, you had some good events last year, and you want to let some people know what's happening as far as maybe events in the not too distant future.
Yeah, we've got mainly in May, mostly some corporate events out here, but we are going to start a Monday night scramble league or outing, if you will. Just going to be open to the public, non-committal. People don't have to come every week, but people can check out gravelpitgolf.com and our Facebook page for more details about that. That'll start in mid-May, just two-person teams every Monday night. And instead of a shotgun start, because not everybody wants to play golf at the same time, we're going to just have a kind of an open tee time thing where people can tee off anytime between 2 o'clock and 6:30 at night, so whatever kind of works into their schedule. And just give away some prizes and just an excuse to get together and have some fun in a nice social setting.
Chuck, I was out to see you a couple weeks ago, and you had a new, what I thought was a food truck in your parking lot, and you told me it was going to be a coffee shop. Give us the rundown on that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Mary and Ava Toomey from Local Express have made up Locomotion, so it's their mobile coffee trailer that's going to be parked here at the gravel pit. And so they've got great coffee drinks and energizer drinks and all kinds of fun, a little bit of food in the morning. So it's a nice little coffee shop. And come on out and check out the view and have a cup of coffee or something to eat. It's a nice partnership with those ladies.
Boy, the women in my life love that place. They might be coming up to your place for coffee, Chuck.
Yep, exactly.
So if I don't have time to play golf in the morning, I can still come out and see and have a cup of coffee?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's open to the public, and people can just grab a cup either on their way to town or the deck's always open. So we've had a fair number of people coming out and just sitting around enjoying the view. We got a lot of there's eagles out here, and you know the like Mac was saying, the trout are jumping out of the pond on number two. So it's a nice setting, and kind of set here in the gravel pit.
The deck's a great spot, and you've had some musical entertainment out there on certain nights during the summertime as well, Chuck.
Yeah, that's coming up. Just in mid-May, again, kind of the same type of thing. As the weather starts to get warmer, we'll have live music at the gravel pit from 5:30 to 8:30 every Friday night in June, July, or late May, and then June, July, and August. So, yeah, we get local entertainers to come on out, and people sit around and definitely enjoy the deck and enjoy some fellowship.
Get a cheeseburger and a cold one and enjoy some music. That sounds pretty good.
Exactly.
Chuck, how do people find out about those type of events?
So we put everything on Facebook and Instagram at gravelpitgolf.com, and they can also give us a call. But the web is obviously the easiest place to get information, as well as to book tee times any, you know, 24 hours a day.
Early in the year still, Chuck, do you have memberships or deals for people this time of year?
Yeah, we do. We've got a season-long membership that is, it's $1,000 for 7-day-a-week access to both gravel pit golf courses, and that includes a person's cart. So we've got those available, and it's been kind of nice with the earlier opening. People have been kind of signing up a bit early and getting some, you know, you don't want to call it bonus golf in, but you know, anytime we're playing golf in April, it's a bonus to me.
You bet it is. You bet. Guy can probably still get a cold one out there too, can he, Chuck?
Yeah. So we've got the our restaurant is just coming kind of coming back on board, but the bar is open all the time, and I would love to have people stop by and have a drink, say hello, and maybe play a round of golf.
Yeah, you bet. 13 holes, 10 and a half holes. It doesn't take 6 hours, so that's pretty handy too, really.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's kind of fun about here. The 13-hole golf course takes about a little over 2 hours to play, and we think the 10 and a half hole course will be just about 2 hours. So in the traditional time that you only get 18 holes in, you can play 23 and a half holes here at the gravel pit.
There you go.
I love it. Well, Chuck, I can't get wait to get out and play the new 10 once you get that open. And we appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Appreciate you helping spread the word about Gravel Pit Golf.
Thanks for taking the time, Chuck. Appreciate it. Chuck
Klepkatsky,
PGA professional at the Gravel Pit. Be sure to put that on your bucket list for golf this summer. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, 105.1 FM. Colin McDonald with you. Also streaming at KLIZ.com. And if you're looking for podcasts, just look for Lakes, Woods, and Irons, and you'll find us there. Brought to you in part by Emily Greens, home to the largest green in the universe. Fun at Emily Greens. And SCR Northern, they're the guys and gals who answer the phones 24-7, the ones with Old Man Winter on the trucks. Chris, very special guest. I'll let you handle the introductions.
Yeah, I want to welcome a good friend of mine, longtime friend, Matt Majors from the Minnesota Golf Association. Matt is the managing director of the Minnesota Golf Foundation. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Hi. Yeah,
good
to have you on. Matt, tell us, in the world of golf, there's all kinds of organizations and people tend to get them all confused, but tell us, what is the Minnesota Golf Association, and then your role, what's the Minnesota Golf Foundation?
Sure. Yeah. Minnesota Golf Association is the overall state golf organization that provides member benefits to the golfers out there that play at almost every golf course in the state. We have 400 member clubs, and of those clubs, there's 93,000 individual members. And we provide everything from the championships, whether you're a scratch player or a net player, member days, the handicap index from the USGA, we help administer that. And also our magazine, Minnesota Golfer, and then also services that people don't always, see, whether it's course ratings as they relate to handicaps, also advocating at the Capitol for issues related to golf, and all sorts of other things that people don't necessarily see when they're out at the golf course or when they get the magazine in the mail.
Well, that's great. And the Minnesota Golf Foundation is relatively new, and you're the director of that. Give us the rundown on the foundation.
Yeah. The foundation, we're kind of saying we're in a reset, but saying new is also very appropriate. The foundation was actually started by the Minnesota Women's Golf Foundation back in 1997. And then in 2016, the Women's Golf Association and the MGA merged. And as part of that merger, the foundation became part of the one organization, the unified organization. And because of lots of different things, including COVID, the foundation structure really didn't change at all. But the flagship program was always in place. And that program that the women started was a scholarship for girls going to college to help defer the costs. It's a great program, four-year scholarship, renewable for 4 years. And so far we've had, almost 90 recipients and given away almost $800,000. Again, the Women's Golf Association had the forethought to bring that together. And since then, the foundation is taken a new step where we've kind of brought the structure back in place, all your normal foundation things, getting a board in place, getting the administrative things in place, the governance, starting to raise some significant dollars. And a lot of those dollars now are going to support not only the scholarship, we have another scholarship called the Jim Mendish Memorial Scholarship. And that is targeted towards those individuals that want to go to a tech or vocational or program, like a two-year program. As we know, there's a need for people in those fields, and it still costs a significant amount of money. So that's new for us. And then our Caddy Development Program, which is expanding the availability, use, training of caddies, not only at the private facilities, but now at public facilities. And I know Classic has had caddies for a long time. And that's been a great partnership. But we're also expanding some of the public facilities down here in the cities, Hiawatha, Keller, Columbia, and then we want to start maybe bringing those caddy programs for the public courses throughout the state. The goal there is to expand the pool of candidates for the Evans Scholarship, which is sends, as their tagline says, deserving caddies to college. Best privately funded scholarship program in the country. It's a full 4-year full ride program. And our biggest program, which is just incredible how much it's taken off, is called Youth on Course. And the bottom line with Youth on Course are juniors age 6 to 18 don't have to pay more than $5 to play around. And what that how that happens is the individuals become members of the MGA, card carrying member of Youth on Course, and then through our 110 participating courses throughout the state, a kid can go play for no more than $5. And lots of times it's nice for parents to bring their kids out when normally maybe they didn't have the chance, because we want to break down the affordability and access pieces for junior golfers and make them lifetime golfers. So that's what we're currently doing, but a lot of big plans for the future.
That's awesome. The Youth on Course program has been, it's been so great around the country, and in the state of Minnesota. But it's been fabulous in the Brainerd Lakes area, because I think we've got 5 or 6 golf courses in the Brainerd area on Youth on Course, including Men's West, the Craigens Par 3 course, Breezy Point. And the one of the problems in the Brainerd Lakes area, we've got a lot of golf, but it's not necessarily accessible to kids because, for the most part, it's expensive resort golf. And so that program is really, it's been a big boost to junior golf in the area. So,
Well, and Chris, I'll add to that to give you an idea of how big it's gotten. The program was started here in 2017, excuse me. Now we had last year, we had 16,000 junior members of Youth on Course play 80,000 rounds of golf. And when you really put that in perspective, it's pretty incredible. The big part of it going forward is we're already tracking this year ahead of the numbers last year. And the foundation funds that. And it's a big part of what our donors support, because they know it's a good program to get kids out and break down those barriers you just talked about, the cost being the main one.
So the kids pay a membership fee to be on Youth on Course, and is it $39? Is that
It's $30, but
$30?
we never let that be a barrier. If kids can't afford it or families can't afford it, we make it happen.
And then the green fees are generally $5 at the golf course, and then the MGA helps supplement that, correct,
Yeah,
with the
great.
golf facilities.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. How it works is just what you said. The golf facility might have a, let's say, a $10 junior rate. And in order to, their business, we respect that. We know that. We want to support it, but we also want to get the kids out for $5. So the foundation then subsidizes that $5 to the facility. And really, the old cliche, it's just a win-win-win situation for golf. And it grows business for the facilities, but more importantly, it's growing the number of golfers that, most likely are going to become lifetime golfers.
Absolutely. And along that lines, you've got the MGA just made an announcement with you've got a great event coming up June 1st. Give us
It's
the story on that.
yeah, the June 1st is going to be a big day here in Minnesota for the state of golf. It's called Golf Day Minnesota. And for all the people in Minnesota, yes, we're unapologetically stealing from Hockey Day Minnesota, but I think most hockey players and golfers are good friends, so I think it'll work out fine. But June 1st is it's the first inaugural event for this. We look forward to having it go for many years. And what it entails, it's really just a statewide celebration for golf. We have so many passionate golfers. We want them to get out on the course and The main hub for the celebration this year is going to be at Island View Golf Club in Waconia. They're actually our member club of the year for the MGA last year. And Dan Coles, and I don't know if KFan are competitors with you guys, but Dan Cole, the common man's got a very popular show on Saturdays called Tee to Green, and Common's going to be out there doing that broadcast. And then we're going to have an afternoon shotgun event, trying to get some big personalities out there from the local area, play with MGA members. The MGA members can go right to the website and sign up and play. It is a fundraiser, but it should be a fun day. We're going to have a band out there afterwards, a local band. And going forward and starting this year, we want to really be able to take this around the state and engage the local communities. Hockey Day Minnesota does a great job of that. So now we're starting to work with the local Waconia businesses to promote the day, to come out and see things. We're gonna First Tee's gonna be out there. Second Swing is a big partner for it. And a couple other items I'd say is one of the fundraising parts of it is for every round that MGA members post on that day, and usually it's around 11,000 that first day in June. Our partners are going to donate $5, so essentially a green fee, to support youth on course. So we're encouraging MGA members get out and play, go post, support youth on course. And our member courses can also participate by hosting some kind of event at their club or whatever they want to do to celebrate, whether it's a fundraiser or if it's to drive business to their club. And people can go to mngolf.org/golfdaymn, and they can sign up there. We've already got a lot of courses signing up, but also if they want to participate in the event at Waconia, they can sign up there as well. It's going to be awesome. We're
Yeah,
all very excited.
we're doing a couple golf clinics that day that are going to be all the funds raised are going to go to the Golf Day Minnesota and Youth on Course. So we're excited about that. And who are your corporate partners? Yeah.
Well, right now for this event, Second Swing Golf, great organization. Russ and Simon are great guys, very generous. They're going to be part of it. They are going to be a they're, they have been a long-term partner for the MGA. And we also have KFan, obviously, and we're working on a few others, but I can't really disclose those right now. So,
Awesome.
yeah.
Awesome. The
Oh, I
other
will say,
event.
Chris, let me jump
Yes.
in. I forgot to mention Unreal, the new sports brand. That wasn't official, but we'll make it official. Local golf brand and lifestyle brand, they're going to be part of it as well and be giving away some nice swag for those that play in the event.
Very good. I just gave a lesson to a guy yesterday who had a Unreal hat on, so
Oh
it's a
yeah.
I didn't
Yeah,
know
they're
much
doing.
about the brand until yesterday.
Yep, they're getting big and we want to try to help them do that.
Awesome. The other event I wanted to talk to you about, Matt, was the 100-hole hike, which
Yeah.
raises money for also for youth on course and later in the summer. And
Yep.
tell people how they can get involved in the 100-hole hike.
Well, it's an amazing event. As you can imagine, it's get out there and play 100 holes in one day. And you can get your friends to pitch in a few dollars. So however many holes you play, that's what they're going to pitch in. And it's going to be held locally at three different courses, but it's also going to be up at the Brainerd Lakes area. This year we're going to be at Craggins again. They've supported the last few years, and they can go right to our website again under the foundation and look for Youth on Course, and there's a link to the 100-hole hike there. It's an amazing event. I've done it a few times and it sounds worse than it actually is. You don't necessarily have to finish out every hole, but you do your best. And again, all the money goes to Youth on Course. And yeah, it's a fun day, and we're looking forward to growing it and having it be throughout the whole state.
That's great. Well, Matt, we really appreciate coming on the show, and I appreciate so much what the MGA is doing for golf in the state of Minnesota, and not only with the youth on course, but supporting the tournament activities and the handicapping and everything else that you guys do to help golf and make golf a more fun game in Minnesota.
Well, thanks, Chris. It's a pleasure to be in the golf world. We're all very fortunate, but to actually see some new things that we can do with the foundation, especially to support golf, not just for MGA members, but for all golfers in the state, is going to be a key driver for what we do with the foundation.
Matt, thanks for taking the time. We sure appreciate
Appreciate it, Colin. Love your show, by the way. I started listening to it, so you guys cover a lot of good stuff.
Thanks, Matt.
That's Matt Majors with the MGA. Lots of cool things happening with the MGA, including Golf Day Minnesota, June the 1st. Listen for more about that right here on Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, 105.1 FM. We also stream at kliz.com. And if you go looking for podcasts, just look for Lakes, Woods, and Irons, and you'll find us there. Brought to you in part by Cragen's Legacy Courses, home to the 2024 CRMC Classic and the new Lehman 18. Holiday stores in Cross Lake, Mill Avenue, and Excelsior Road. And by Mills Automotive Group, celebrating 100 years since 1922. The Mills Automotive Group has been with you and been a long time sponsor of the show. So nice to have them on board again. Chris, early in the year, we've talked about some different things people are working on. I kind of crink my neck and my shoulder, so I might take a day off, which is might not be a bad idea for an old guy too. You were listening to Scottie Scheffler. He's, of course, after winning tournaments, he's always at the microphone, it seems, and he had some interesting points that you wanted to bring up.
You know, one of the questions was asked of him what he's working on in his golf swing, and I don't think there's a lot he needs to work on because he's striking the ball better than anybody in the world right now. But, you know, the one comment he made was the thing that he works on every single day in practice is his setup. And I thought that was pretty telling. And, you know, for the average player, there's no reason the average player can't set up as well or better as the most, as the elite players in the world, because we don't have to have a lot of innate athletic ability to have a good grip on the handle of the golf club where we can square the golf club, getting in good balance, having, aiming the club face properly and getting our alignment right and having good ball position. And so if the number one player in the world puts priority on that on a daily basis, we should be as well. And so the better you set up to the golf ball, the easier it is to make an efficient golf swing. And really, it's half the golf swing. So I thought it was a great comment. And if the number one player in the world is working on a daily, we probably should be as well.
Yeah, his setup is phenomenal. His follow-through is different than anybody else's in the world, however, with his feet.
Yeah, he's got unique footwork. But I would say it's good footwork from the standpoint, everything is moving towards the target. And, one of the things, well, when we talked with David Arrington last week, we talked about controlling the low point of the swing and where the club bottoms out. And for the average player, they tend to bottom out the golf club too far behind the ball, regardless if it's a pitch shot or if they're hitting an iron shot or a fairway shot off the ground. The tendency is to bottom out the club too far away from the ball and hit the ball, or too far behind the ball and hit the ball on the upward side of the arc of the swing. And, with Scottie Scheffler's footwork, he's always moving towards the target. He may not look like he's in balance, but his momentum is moving towards the target, and that's bringing that low point ahead of the golf ball. So, if you cover his lower body, the look of his upper body and where the club moves is fantastic. So it's, he's definitely got a different look to his swing, but, boy, I sure like the way the club moves and how his upper body moves. And, wouldn't necessarily discourage, if somebody has the ball striking ability that he does.
Right.
It's a testament to Randy Meyer, who's his longtime coach, has been a junior, that he didn't ever work that out of his swing.
Yeah.
If the typical teacher would try to eliminate that, where he saw that as something, you know, that didn't need to be changed.
Well, the Swing Your Swing was a great a promotion that golf put on for a while. Palmer and Nicklaus and Tiger and Scotty now. Swing Your Swing seemed to work for those guys, and they all have pretty unique golf swings as well.
Yeah, no question. If the key to great ball striking is impact, and there are a lot of ways to get to impact. As long as you can return the club face to impact in a position where you get the golf ball started on your intended target line, you're going to do all right.
I was going to ask you, Chris, in a little bit older golfer now, about balance. I feel like maybe my balance isn't what it once was. The things you can work on for the balance in your swing.
Yeah, you know, there are, as we age, unless we work on it, our balance, we lose some balance, and that's why you see a lot of old people. You know, they walk slow and they shuffle. It's not because they're stiff or they've lost coordination. They've just lost balance.
Yeah.
So the great thing about balance is trainable, and there are a lot of different exercises you can do to train balance. And the better balance that you have, especially in golf, the faster you can swing the golf club. Just simple things like closing your eyes and standing on one foot, and holding your balance for as long as you can, and then switching to the other foot. You know, that's a great way that you can spend a couple minutes every morning working on that. And, you know, what you'll find is over time, your balance will increase. And another thing I like that a back specialist told me a long time ago that I do every day is when I put my socks on, rather than sitting down and like on the side of the bed to put them on, I stand on one foot and put the one sock on, and then I switch to the other foot. And, you know, it's interesting because balance changes from day to day based on, you know, just our equilibrium and our hydration and all those things. But over time, you'll be amazed about how much easier it is to put that sock on one at a time, standing on one foot. So, there's a couple exercises there.
These are practical life hacks and golf hacks, Chris.
Well, you know, it's kind of like we've talked about when we've talked about exercise on the show before. What's great about, you know, golf fitness is it's not only great for your golf game, it's great for every aspect of your life.
Yeah, very, very true. All right, my friend, thanks for taking the time this week. Thanks to our guests, Matt Majors and Chuck Kletkatsky from the Gravel Pit. Great to have those two gentlemen on with us. And you've been listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on The Fan.